This is Night Force Action Report for Tuesday, August 13th from HorribleNight.com. I'm Justin Lacey. Joining me tonight is Ethan Moses.
Hey guys, good to see you. Hi.
And with tools in hand, Jason Thompson.
How's it going?
Tiny tool. And me without my hardware. This is the editorial video game podcast from Horrible Night, where we get caught up with the games we've been playing and pitch some games at the end of the show. So, but before we do that, Jason had a silly week without the internet. What the hell is that like?
Awful. Basically like being 10 years old again. The worst. Sort of.
I remember being 10 being awesome.
Well, being 10 with like every adult responsibility.
Oh, okay. That would do.
Yeah, not good. So basically, Tom Hanks and Big, which is ironically bringing things to a...
Wow, that explains your tiny tools.
But he got some nook-nook in that movie.
Hey, I got a wife.
I don't know what that noise was. Was that a good noise?
I don't either. But I make it a lot. I think that's why people are uncomfortable around me.
Especially your wife.
Yeah.
That's why she left you. Oh, I didn't notice you're being patriotic there, Ethan.
You like that?
I need to put... I've only got that monkey behind me. So we've got power pads, American flags. So what have you been up to, Jason?
Well, got the internet about 2 days ago. Just been playing catch up with pretty much everything since I went to Dallas with my wife. What was that, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
It seems like a year ago.
Yeah, it was a long time.
It's a while ago.
It's two shows ago.
By the way, Arkansas does indeed suck major ballage.
Yeah.
We drove through Arkansas on the way there. On the way back, we avoided it.
Good.
At all cost.
Because you were in less of a rush to get back?
Every rest stop was actually torn down.
Everyone's leaving. Everyone's just in Arkansas.
Not just closed rubble. And it wasn't tornado rubble. The only thing I can sort of chop it up to is maybe like a budget issue. And since they didn't want people like living in those places, instead of just boarding them up, they were just like, screw it. We'll just tear it down.
Take them all down. We don't have any money. Tear all the buildings down.
Yeah. And there was literally 8 exits within probably 120 miles.
Oh, Aaron might have a good... Is the next Fallout going to be taking place in Arkansas, maybe?
Is that what
they're doing?
That would be a perfect location. Maybe that's what those rest stops were. They were just vaults, and they were just trying to hide them. But seriously, it was pretty awful. My birthday, I turned 30 while
Way
I was gone.
Way to go. Congratulations, yeah. You did it. Everyone's impressed.
Yeah, and my father-in-law bought me a grill, so I feel like a real... real man now.
Did it come with those giant and tiny tools?
For my birthday, I got a grill and a selection of both giant and tiny tools.
What would you do if your father-in-law gave you a gift of really tiny tools?
Well, he has bought me tools before, but not on the tiny side of things.
Okay. It's like, I don't know what that metaphor means, but it can't be good.
Yeah, he actually bought me a cordless drill for Christmas.
Wow.
Which is...
sounds useful.
Somewhere around here.
Do you use those things, or is he just kind of like, look, dude?
No, I use them. Yeah, okay. I use them.
Because my family buys me like power tools and stuff, and they're like, okay.
I start acting like a dude now.
I'm like, oh, you stop. I'm going to go flip some flapjacks.
No, I use them all the time.
How's the grill? Have you tried it out yet?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a Weber. So, yeah. Nice, very nice.
It's been good. Good grilling summer too. So,
yeah, I was actually going to use it tonight, and then you guys wanted me on here, so
ruining everything. guest spots.
I've got some brats that I need to fire up, so maybe I'll do that after.
You can just like take the webcam with you and just grill and talk about video games.
I could probably show it to you if I dragged my webcam over to the window. I could probably show you what it looks like. But no, actually, it's a really nice one. It's one of those that comes with like a stand that you can take the grill off the top of it so you can go and tailgate with it.
Oh, wow.
Which is really nice. And you can, it's not huge, but you could probably put a whole turkey in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
But also hide those turkeys in walls.
Yeah.
True. True. So, yeah. So I've been playing with that, getting sort of acclimated to, you know, grilling, I guess, with that. It's propane, and it has those, like, smaller propane tanks, mm-hmm. which is really nice because yeah, they're not as, like.
For our tailgating as well.
Yeah. So those are. Those are really nice. And then you can also put an adapter on it to get a bigger tank if you want it. So,
do you have big and small versions of everything?
I do. I do. It's
quite a unique superhuman ability.
No,
well, at any given time, he could be transported to the fourth stage in Super Mario 3, so he wants to be prepared for that.
Nice.
No complaints from my wife.
He's like a Swiss Army knife. Ethan, what's been going on with you, man?
Oh shit! So, I'm home alone for like the next 2 weeks. It feels like that. I've actually been setting traps. It's kind of scary. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a grown man.
When did that start for you?
Just on Sunday, yesterday. I took my wife to the airport yesterday, and it's only been like, it's been just about 24 hours, and I don't like it. I don't want to be by myself. This flat is old and spooky and big, and it echoes, and I think there's someone in this house. There's all these weird things happening.
I hope it's not Joe Pesci.
Well, I hope it's not Joe Pesci either. I hope to God it's not Joe Pesci.
Get the paint cans, man.
Do you have a healthy supply of micro machines?
if Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern shows up, I'm going to fucking flip out.
If you do have a healthy selection of micro machines, put that shit on eBay.
I don't. It's unhealthy. But I do have a bunch of figurines that I got at Gen Con last year. Mm. But I don't want them to get all messed up, so I don't know if I'd even use them. And besides, I'm almost 30 as well, and I don't think I can set traps for grown men anymore.
Yeah, that's assault.
That's assault. That's assault, brother. You know, so... I've just been kind of like trying to keep things together. I've been streaming a lot more, so... So that's
well, yeah. At least that coincided with the temperature drop, so you can.
It's dropped dramatically. It's real cool. I had to close the window. It was too cold today. My nipples were getting pretty tight, pretty taut. You know, so
taut nipples. Also, I'd like to see that.
I'm going to go ahead and put it in chat again. I'm real big on testing people's humanity. That's my new thing. It needs to go in the show notes. I'm not gonna let people get me down anymore. I'm just gonna test their humanity, and if they don't pass my humanity test, and Jordan did not, so he's off the list. By watching this YouTube monkey video, which is so fucking touching, it'll give you like an erection, but not the type you should be embarrassed about, like the type that everybody gets. It's that touching. Like, it's unbelievable. And it made me feel really good today. And, loneliness can only be cured by seeing chimpanzees being released back into the wild and seeing the sunlight for the first time. So if anybody who's real, like, lonely, like, watch this video, you'll be fine. I mean, you won't. Like, you will be fine for 5 minutes.
And then, okay.
You know, the loneliness will set back in, trust me. But yeah, you got to watch that.
So. Yeah, as soon as you find a related video that YouTube throws at you, because every other video is terrible.
So basically, this is what you'll look like when your wife gets home.
She'll parade me around in the streets.
And they'll be confused.
I'm trying to go outside today, but I was chased back in. So, like a chimpanzee, I will be indoors until I need to go out into the sunlight.
Just, I wonder what her reaction will be when she shows up and you also have three chimpanzee friends and living with you.
Well, that could be frightening. What if they just attack her and maul her? I'm like, oh my god,
don't mess with
this.
This
is not what I wanted to happen. I thought this was going to be a celebration, a welcome home, but instead these monkeys are consuming my wife, and for some reason,
consuming her.
Or better, worse, they try to mate with her.
Oh yeah, she wouldn't like that. She wouldn't like that at all.
Anything else going on, Ethan?
I watched The Cider House Rules. That's a good movie.
Sounds like
it's another kind of touching movie, but kind of really depressing as well. So, but yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. So yeah.
Did you watch it by yourself?
I wish I would have, but no. We watched that on Sunday. Okay. We had a movie day. We drank way too much on Saturday, made asses of ourselves, and so we kind of like stayed inside and slept just because we felt bad. So, but good movie. Go see it. Fucking Tobey Maguire before he got
find
all
it
stupid
in
Spider-Man. Yeah, it's in theaters now. How old is that movie? It's pretty,
I have
old.
No idea.
Charlize Theron's behind. Yeah, it was. That's okay. It was fine.
At least it wasn't Michael Caine's.
You know what? I wouldn't have minded seeing what Michael Caine's got to offer. That man, that guy's amazing. I love Michael Caine.
I bet his ass looks sophisticated.
Mm-hmm. I bet it's got spectacles and a tightly trimmed mustache.
That ass has a monocle, which is actually more fitting. I wasted my time catching up on Shark Week last week. Didn't think I would get into it because we don't have cable, but I got so into it that I watched all the old seasons that are on the free streaming networks and then subscribed to it on Amazon for the current season. So I kind of lost it a little bit because they had all this prehistoric shark stuff, and I got really into anything to do with Megalodon. And they basically made a fake documentary of it.
They ruined their reputation.
Yeah, they kind of did. But
yeah, that was
oh, no, there's no kind about it. They've ruined their reputation completely. People are so mad about that. I didn't watch it because I'm disconnected, but I was like, well, yeah, of course a Megalodon.
What's the outrage about?
No,
it's silly.
One could say they jumped the shark.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know why people are pissed? Because they released that Mermaids video last year around this time.
Yeah.
If a Mermaids video?
It was a video about how mermaids exist, and they like kind of they gussied it up. They did make it up, but they made it seem like it was like nonfiction. I mean, and the same thing with the Megalodon thing. It was like here's the thing. There's a lot of dumb people on the planet. A lot of dumb people that think that half women, half fish exist, and that gigantic sharks exist, despite the fact that there's no sort of food for them in the ocean.
Humpback whales. They explain it, man.
Oh, there's not enough humpback whales. Maybe one single megalodon.
He can bite a humpback whale in half. They had footage from Japan of a half-eaten humpback whale on the beach. It had just been its tail had been sheared off. Been one bite. It's been amazing.
Yeah,
that's what happened. That's what happened.
Discovery Channel is going down.
See, I thought it was dumb as hell, but I was entertained because it was dumb as hell.
But you're intelligent. You're an intelligent man who can differentiate between fact and fiction. A lot of people aren't.
So the people that
basically what's happening is we're saying, look, these dumb people are believing this, Discovery Channel. They're believing it. We need you to stop.
They're so, like, they've done Shark Week. I think they said, what, it's like the 25th year, the 20th year, or something like that. And
it's been a long time, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, there's only so many shark documentaries you can do and then end it with, but humans are worse. That always, like, moral thread they throw at the end.
In the very end, is there always, like, a human that turns around and their eyes like, all over?
We're also the apex predator. Anyway, I had a good time with it. Megalodon's kind of crazy. Just think about... and then they did... they had, like, deep sea sharks off of the coast of Japan. Yeah. And got to see a goblin shark, and that was pretty badass. So
yeah, those are scary. Yeah.
And then, honestly, this week, the thing I've gotten the most enjoyment out of is Giant Bomb's been experimenting with a bunch of their premium content. They've got just a bunch of random shows, and it actually kind of reminded me of when we were trying to figure out the format for this show and Top Video Game Podcast. Like, they're just kind of recording stuff, putting it up, see how it goes. Who knows what's going to happen. Anyway, they started the Powerbomb cast this week, which is basically five game journalists talking about wrestling. And it is hilarious because they know about as much about wrestling currently as I do. Like, they just watch it in passing, yet once a month they're going to talk about wrestling, and I don't know. It was just like, it hit home for me. I want to start watching WWE Raw because, or actually, WWE... NXT, they're like their minor league show. That looks...
What?
Yeah, that sounds kind of badass. Like, it's all in Hulu Plus and has, like, all the up-and-coming dudes because I don't like any of the current dudes, so I don't know.
Well, NBC just showed WrestleMania, like, 2 weeks ago. That's because the reason why I know... Yeah, they showed, like, an edited, watered-down version of it. So, like, people know what happened.
Like the most recent WrestleMania?
Yeah, so they showed it was just the match between John Cena and The Rock.
Okay, and like I saw.
Spoiler alert: John Cena wins.
John Cena wins and banishes The Rock to Fast and Furious 7.
But seriously, like NBC like showed that in like prime time on I don't know what night of the week it was.
I saw
and
people...
I sat there and watched the whole damn thing. I don't know why.
I gotta say I'm a Cena fan. I've never seen him wrestle.
Like one.
Dude, he has dedicated 300 visits to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. That guy has got to be—he's got a heart of gold, and he's full of muscles. He's like what the world needs right now.
They talked about that they can't turn him heel. They can't like change his character because of like all the good stuff he does with his character.
Yeah,
and well, like remember when the kids would turn against him, and it'd be terrible.
He's just not a good technical wrestler, though.
Yeah, that's the battle. That's the battle, but. Yeah. If you have a passing interest at all in wrestling, I don't know. It just seemed like the perfect podcast for this. I don't like to get into the hardcore details. I don't want to follow this on a weekly basis, but like a monthly check-in with dudes that used to like really be into it but can only kind of casually watch it now, I don't know. It was entertaining and kind of opened my eyes to be like, what other bullshit can we talk about? Which would be like the intro to this show.
About tools.
Tools, too.
We should have a tool cast. I think we are a tool cast. Moving on to video games and the new releases of the week. Guys, something's happened in the last couple weeks. I think starting last week, there were just kind of a small flood of video games. And like more and more are coming out now. So there were a bunch of downloads last week that I grabbed. And it's going to keep on going this week. So I think the big release of the week... depending on your background, might be DuckTales Remastered, which, it was kind of the outrage of the week too. People it's not getting great reviews, and it sounds like this is a retro game that they didn't really change all that much. And guess what? DuckTales by today's gameplay standards is a bit difficult, and you know it's a little old school. If this hadn't happened, we'd be experiencing the outrage that they changed too much and it remained true. So honestly, when they announced DuckTales, I was like, I don't know how this game can win, but I love DuckTales and know what to expect, so I'll have fun with it.
There was a reason I wrote the editorial that I wrote last week, because I've come to the consensus that gamers are going to bitch and complain no matter what you give them, which is really sad. So, you would have never had DuckTales 5 years ago, because people would have been like, oh, whatever, who cares?
If you like the DuckTales game, just realize what it is, and it will be that, and you'll be fine, and I can't wait to play it. So
don't be surprised it's not a first-person shooter, because it's not. It doesn't have cover mechanics, it doesn't have RPG systems, it's just DuckTales.
Another big release, Payday 2, which is a couple of us have already picked up the game. Looking forward to playing some multiplayer heisting. More I'm reading up on it, since I didn't play Payday 1 at all, they're basically calling it Left 4 Dead, but for bank heists, and apparently it's supposed to be pretty difficult, which I think I might get out of this what I wanted out of Monaco. Because Monaco was just, like, silly chaos the way we played it, but I don't know if Payday will even let you do that.
Yeah, it looks tough. It does. And just... hearing about the mechanics and stuff like that, it's not just shoot stuff and get from point A to point B. There's all kinds of stuff involved with it. It sounds really cool. It's a bad guy game. Sorry guys, Robin Banks. There's no good morale that's going to come out of that unless you're like in North Korea and you're giving back to the people. That's all I can think. The only reason I can think of robbing a bank. I still have guilt about Saints Row 3. So
yeah, I don't know if you'll be able to do this, Ethan, because
I won't.
Aaron and I were talking about the entertainment value of just the crazy things you're going to yell at your friends. Like, keep that old lady on the ground. And, you know.
I could do it. I'd help her up. I'd help her up and I'd give her a little cup of tea.
Shoot that old man security guard.
Yeah. Can't do it. No way.
Please don't cut that audio and keep it in context if you use it. Space Hulk for the PC. I don't know much about that, but that's a Warhammer thing, right?
Warhammer 40K. It was actually a separate game, smaller battles, but it looks like they've done a really good job of transitioning the board game to the computer game. It's turn-based. I'll see. I'm kind of interested in it, but I want to see how well it comes together. So.
Well, when I saw the title of that, I thought I confused it with Planet Hulk.
Oh yeah.
And I got really excited.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, completely different.
Yeah.
Gone Home for the PC, another digital download. Don't know much about that one. The other one I didn't know much about, but bought it anyway because the screenshots look cool, was Hammer Watch.
Yeah, how is that? You played that last night.
I think you need bros to play it. It was kind of boring like solo, but the art style's really cool. Like, it's all pixel retro graphics, but it's got some nice lighting and shadows. Plays a lot like Gauntlet, but just like on a, it's kind of a smaller scale. Like, it's like Gauntlet meets Diablo, and there are a ton of enemies, but there's just not very much variety in that first stage. But I think you can blow through it and level up and have fun with your friends. And it's only like $8, so I don't feel too bad about it. I did a Game Curious video of that. I'll write a review later this week on it. If you've got friends that are into it, I think it would be a lot of fun. Another Worms game, Clan Wars. The only thing I know about this is that they built this one from the ground up just for the PC. All the other Worms releases were multi-platform and kind of console first, and they said this is their first one they've done for PC in a while. And they've also, Team 17 has said they're moving on from Worms for the near future. They're going to try some new stuff. So
yeah.
This might be the last new Worms game for a while.
Well, and how many of us just bought Worms Revolution on the PC?
Yeah, that
so
this was kind of a little too soon. And also, I was looking at all the titles for all the Worms games. I can't tell any of them apart anymore. We were at work. We were trying to find like let's play some Worms, guys. Which game do we get? And there was just no clear answer. Like one thing we found is if you want to play PC versus Mac, that's just not possible. So that was pretty frustrating, but. There's plenty of Worms games if you want them. They're all out there. Charlie Murder. I'm going to be playing that game Thursday. I have been waiting on this brawler for 3+ years at this point. This is the brawler with some RPG elements from Ska Studios. It's part of the Summer of Arcade. No leaked info yet about a PC release, but I'm holding out hope because the other Summer of Arcade game, Brothers, is already coming out to PC by the end of the month, so maybe we'll see this jump, but I don't know, if you like four-player brawlers, it looks to be the next great one to play.
Mm.
Plus punk music and an awesome soundtrack.
Mm. Punk music. Yeah, I'm still pissed at my parents, too. I'm just kidding.
Let's see. On PSN, Mars, Warlogs, don't know anything about that. Thunder Wolves is the arcade helicopter shooter that's been out for PC for a little bit. Wii U has the Angry Bird Trilogy, a Phineas and Ferb game. The original Donkey Kong is out on the eShop on 3DS. But what I want to talk about before we move on is this is the release week for Disney Infinity. So I've been reading up on this because I live with a 5-year-old and showed her a trailer for Disney Infinity and she thought it looked pretty awesome and like was mad at me that we couldn't play it right then because I'd showed her the trailer on the TV, so she thought we had it. So that was
dude,
a mistake on my behalf, but anyway. So it's out now. I kind of want to run down what I know about how it's being released and kind of get your guys' reaction because like, I knew that Disney was trying to do the Skylanders thing, which, you know, is just the toy I wish I had when I was a kid growing up. Like, it has just everything that I would have been interested in as a collector and as the toys that I played as a kid. So they're doing that with Disney characters. So you buy the game for whatever platform of your choosing. You buy the starter pack, which is $75. What that gets you is three characters, one guy from Pirates of the Caribbean, one from The Incredibles, and one from Monsters, Inc. Those each, every character comes with a playset. So basically the Monsters, Inc. world, the Pirates world, and so they come with their own worlds, The Incredibles world. And you use that character in that character's world, but you can also pull them out into a toy box mode where you can combine elements from all the games and kind of build your own playground. That's like the big draw. So that's what you get out of the box. And I kind of knew all that, but then digging into like everything else, there are also other characters that you can buy right out of the gate. You can buy the rest of the Incredibles, other Monsters, Inc. characters that are $13 a pop. So if you want to play as Dash in your Incredibles playset, you've got to go buy him for 13 bucks. The good news is, like all those characters, you buy them once, they work on any platform. So,
okay.
Because I was kind of worried about, what do I buy this for? I kind of want to buy it for the Wii U. That makes the most sense for me, but I also kind of doubt the future of the Wii U, and I don't really want to buy it on the 360 now. So I was kind of torn there, but at least all that hardware works across the board. The other, like, really nasty thing that they've created are these $5 power discs that you buy. And you set the power discs on your little control center or whatever, where you put the characters to get them in the game. And the power discs, like, give your character superpowers. And those are, like, kind of independent. So you can buy these power-ups, or the theory is when you go to see, like, a Disney movie, you'll get, like, limited edition or, like, special power discs that you can only get when you go to see the movie or buy the DVD or what have you. And so you kind of can see where this is starting to go. And this is going to be really dangerous because I wanted to get this for Lily's birthday, but I don't know what door I'm opening.
Don't do it. It's dumb. That's a dumb thing to do. You're going to spend so much money on Disney movies and Disney, all kinds of Disney paraphernalia.
We already do that.
You're going to turn into a Disney dealer. You can't live that lifestyle. You don't make enough money for that. Even Hollywood stars, when they start getting into that shit, they run out of money eventually.
Tiny tools for you that you can give her.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, give her a tool set, push her outside, and get a job if you want your Disney Infinity. You know? I think that's dangerous, dude. And I think it's dangerous for you as well, because I think there's going to be some conflict between you and a five-year-old. And that's just, those are the kind of things you see on cops.
I'll just buy two of everything. It'll be fine.
Why'd you push her down? Because she got my Infinity figures. She got them. Yeah.
So basically what you're implying is you can get it for the Wii U, but then you could get it for whatever other console. So technically you could play them separately, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Eh.
No, because I'm not going to enable you.
You're trying to say. Yeah, so you're helping, but you're not helping.
This is not for adults, right? Like, I shouldn't be, like, excited about this. It's okay.
I mean, Skylanders isn't for adults, but there were plenty of...
But plenty of creepy adults play it and trade with their
preteen
friends.
I'm not the only one that almost caved on that. Like, I had serious conversations, but I'm glad I didn't. But, you know, and I think I'm less attached to the Disney characters, but I don't know, that hook of, I know that Lily will really be into it if she plays it. I'm like, but yeah, I started doing that math. It's going to get expensive quick, because you don't want, like, you know, I want...
Yeah, you bought a Vita. You're fine.
I can't actually play it on the Vita. I think that's like the one console.
Well, buy it for the Wii U, and then someone will actually use that Wii U. So, I mean, he'll get some use out of it.
That's true.
It's only going to cost you $5,000 to actually get use out of your Wii U.
It's so So be careful out there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, be cautious, everybody.
Ethan, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing a variety of games, and I think you and I can both speak to this first one, is Spelunky, which is a game that I saw Josh Lee play, and he was so horribly frustrated.
He was miserable.
He was miserable. I thought, well, you know, he and I kind of have similar tastes in games, but then I realized, like, I used to think that, but I was like, nah, we really don't at all. I bought it. I love it. I've put 10 hours into it since I played it.
I'm thrilled that you love it. I would have bet against you. Like,
I'm
better at it than I am. So,
well, I bought it for the novelty. I thought it would have been a hilarious game to stream and just get pissed off at, or just have fun with.
Yeah.
But man, it is a well put together game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've read some people complaining about it being difficult and, like, the controls aren't good. Like, those people aren't, I don't know where they're from. Like, they must be the most spoiled gamers on the planet, because that game is tight across the board. Like, when you die, it's your mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about it is the randomness is you're not learning how to get through levels. Like, the biggest issue I always had with games back in the day and games like Super Meat Boy and stuff is there's memorization you need to do. Like, you're not learning... You're learning the level layout, you're learning how to play it, but you have to play it exactly the same every time. And with Spelunky, what you're doing is you're learning technique, you're learning how to use the objects around you, and then you're applying that. And I like that idea of it, and that's why I like it so much, because I don't feel like I've got to, like, know exactly what's coming up next. I just have to you know, assess the situation and react as need be. And yeah. I've had a really excellent time with it, and I feel like I'm getting better. Though today I was so pissed. I woke up in the morning and I realized you got to warm up before you do the daily challenge.
Oh yeah, that's,
which is something that we're doing. Like, we're doing daily challenges. We're competing with each other. And I had some pretty good runs in the daily challenge. And today I woke up. I was a little bit croggy. And I thought, okay, well, I'll jump right in the daily challenge. Fucking the worst daily challenge I've had. So if you're gonna do the daily challenge, play a little bit and then get into it. But it's fun. I mean, I was just doing a lot of like reading about it and looking at the wiki page, because I want to see what all is in it, because on the chat or on the stream yesterday, someone was like, oh, you got to get the worm level, and I was like, what is that? And there's all these secrets in this game that I have no idea about, and Derek Yu, man, he knows what he's doing, holy shit. Like, that game is, I mean, I haven't even gotten too close to just unraveling every aspect of that game. I mean, there's so much to it. And I found out today just how difficult it is to beat that game, like, completely. Like, it seems almost it is probably one of the biggest challenges of any game currently right now. Like wow. Outside of Super Meat Boy, like, just how to line up getting to the end of that game, like the actual end, is insane. And I don't think I'll ever
do it. How's it compared to FTL as far as having all the right pieces fall into place at the right time?
You know, FTL, there's a lot more randomness to it, I think. I mean, obviously, Spelunky is random, but there's a lot of skill to it. Whereas with FTL, having a good strat, I mean, they both had that similar aspect of, like, you know what to do with the weapons you have, you know how to fight the enemies you're dealing with, you know how to deal with the obstacles, and you just have to tie stuff together. But I mean, FTL, when you lose an FTL, a lot of the time it's just because the game's like, you know, go fuck yourself. Whereas with Spelunky, the randomness is it controlled randomness, I want to feel like. You know, like, there's never been a time, I think there's been one level where I began, and right when I began, it was in the jungle level, there was a tribesman who had a boomerang, and so as soon as I entered the arena, he threw the boomerang and knocked me into a bunch of spikes. So there was literally nothing I could have done at that point. But outside of that, I mean, there's very few times that happens. So, I mean, if you take your time, and when I say take your time, I mean that very delicately, because there's a ghost that's kind of come
to haunt
you.
If you take too much time.
If you take too much time. But even that, like, I was nervous about that. But, I mean, everything's timed out really well. Like, I don't know, dude. That and FTL are two games that I think my three roguelikes that I go to at this point, and people are debating, is this really roguelike? Yeah, yeah. You know, whatever. It's got roguelike elements. You fucking die, the game's over. FTL, Dungeon of Dreadmoor, and this game are definitely there, and they're so fun. I mean, you feel satisfied getting to another level, and I like that. You know, I've been playing a lot of games, and it is true. Like, games have gotten easy. I mean, games are a lot easier now. They want you to finish the game. Derek Yu does not want you to fucking finish this game. If you do, I feel like, you know, that team will be excited about this. But I mean, you can just, you know, I remember watching an interview with him, and he was kind of sly about kind of being like, look, this is going to be tough for you. Like, this is not going to be easy. And again, beating this game completely it's going to separate, like, the men from the boys. I mean, it's going to be intense. Like, I couldn't believe all the shit you have to do to be able to
actually beat the damsels from the mankinis.
The damsels from the mankinis, exactly. So, and I did, and I've been using, like, you can pick your own damsel, which is, you can rescue them at the end of the stage. You get more health. And, you know, when I had the female, I wasn't super motivated to save her. I don't know what the deal was. But as soon as I put a blonde, punky dude in a Speedo in there, like, I was
going
to get him to the end. And I killed myself, like, trying to get that dude to the end. So I have nicknamed him Mankini.
I had the same thing, except I used the pug. So I used the pup. I go after the puppy.
That's cute. So. That is cute. Yeah. So
have you played that at all, Jason? I don't know if you got him.
No, I actually heard about it before I went on that trip, and so I was really excited when I got back to purchase it and play it, because I had downloaded the original that they based it on, and I just didn't have any time to play it, so I was going to play that for just a little bit, then get the new one, and then play through it.
Yeah,
internet, it just kind of...
It's hard to download games without the internet.
Yeah, so it's good to hear that, you know, not only Ethan's enjoying it, but a lot of other people are as well.
We've got five or six from our Horrible Night crew on the leaderboards, so...
Very nice.
On a daily basis, so that's been fun. I have done absolutely horrendous on the daily challenges up till the last couple days, but I have I'm gonna actually record all my daily challenges and try to do like a highlight reel of all my deaths like weekly, just to see how that goes. Because that's my favorite part about the game, are the deaths that just happen out of fucking nowhere. They like, and especially when you'll get killed and like your body will just ricochet off of three or four different things, and it's just like, I had 6 health. How the hell did I die? And you just happen to hit these things in the right order and then land on spikes, and it just doesn't matter. And I don't know. I mean, Ethan, you were a part of that the evening where we were streaming I Want to Be the Guy. So you've seen me just kind of laugh at all of my misfortunes. And yeah. Spelunky is just up there on that entertainment value for me for those types of games.
Those deaths can be bad. But it's, and when you hit spikes in that game, like, your character's face goes from happy and adventurous to sad and just... you slide down this. I mean, yeah, it's a great game. Go get that. If you don't have that game right now, I think if you hate platformers, you're not going to like it. But if you're kind of worried about the challenge, like, it's fun. Like, it's a fun kind of challenge. You don't feel shitty while you're playing it. Like, today, I think I got frustrated only because, like, I've been doing pretty good on the daily challenges and I lost right off. So I was like, I'm pissed now. So, but no, very few. I mean, there's never been a time that I've been like, I've yelled a lot on the streams when I play. I played it for like 4 hours the other day on stream. I yelled a couple times, but it was a friendship yell. It was a happiness yell, you know?
You were the happiest man that I've heard drop that many F-bombs. Like, it was at one point, like, I usually keep the stream open in the background. I'm listening to your audio more so than watching the actual video while I'm doing work. And just sometimes it'll just come back and it's just a stream of profanities. But you're having a good time. It wasn't angry profane Ethan. It was it was happy profane Ethan, which is the best kind of profane Ethan.
Yeah, best kind of Ethan. So
Yeah, that's how I prefer my Ethan. What else you been playing?
And so the other game I picked up last week was Guacamelee, which fucking another really good game. Same team that did Mutant Blobs Attack. I didn't realize that until I playing the game Drinkbox. Mutant Blobs Attack I love. I mean, it was a great game, really challenging, and you can see some mechanics from that game that have been modified and transitioned to fit into what Guacamelee is, which is a Metroidvania-like brawler, but it's, I mean, how everything's put together is, I mean, such a great package. Like, holy shit. Like, playing those two games back-to-back, and those are two pretty difficult platforming games. Guacamelee has some...
God, I think Guacamelee... Steam was such an asshole last week. They're just, like, casually... I mean, sure, these are, like... ports of previously exclusive games that some people have played a lot, but like, they're just dropping these left and right.
You guys want to play these? Just these games?
Have these two. Fuck you!
But I think, what got me about Guacamelee more, I mean, it's a tough game. Like, I'm just, like, you play the beginning of the game, you're like, oh, this feels good, whatnot. It gets really tough really fast, and so I'm at a point where I'm really struggling. But like, the art design is incredible. The animations are incredible. The music is incredible. The setting,
Think of all the referential stuff.
That is awesome. Like, cool. I love to see how, I love to see how they've taken, Mexican culture and just like, I mean, these guys, it's because the sad thing is with Mexican culture, a lot of people are very like really like use it like kind of derogatory way, and that's just like, this game embodies the great aspects of Mexican culture, which is really nice, which I think, like, I don't remember a lot of people talking about that, like, that's something that people kind of glossed over, I feel like, because again, it's a funny game, but it's not funny because it's making fun of something. Right. Like, it's just colorful. The music's great. I mean, you feel really good, and the whole luchador like component to it is awesome. And again, I thought it was like Nacho Libre in the very beginning, so I was like, oh, this is just kind of silly. But it just went. I mean, it just kept getting better. And again, that was another one of those games, just like with Spelunky. Like, I sat, like, I streamed that last week as well, and I smiled the whole time. Like, it was it was awesome. And it is tough. And it can be frustrating at times, but again, it comes down to really getting... Now, that game requires you to really get some jump times down and use your powers accordingly. But, I mean, still, it's really great fun. The fighting's fun. And the checkpoints, unlike Mutant Blob's Attack, which one of my issues with that was that some of the checkpoints are a little bit kind of tough.
Yeah.
This one's really, really nice with checkpoints. That doesn't mean it's any less difficult, but it's pretty nice with checkpoints. So, I'm excited about that game as well. I mean, it's tough those two games released on the same fucking day. Like, that's pretty silly, but
I'm glad you got to stream that, because that was kind of locked away on my PS3, and we haven't jumped for the hardware to be able to stream those yet. So that game, I played the hell out of it for a couple days. I still need to finish it, just like everything else on my list. But yeah, it's just a really well done game. It's really clever. I think the level design and how that matches up with the powers that you unlock is done really, really well. And I like all the special moves. I like how it ties into all the, you know, that he's a wrestler, and most of the moves are, you know, more of the hand-to-hand combat type stuff. And I don't know. I remember when they announced the game, and you almost thought it was a joke. Like, you hear the name Guacamelee, you don't, like, you think it's just kind of a, you know, a one-off, like, just Mexican wrestling game that's gonna actually poke fun at the culture. But no, sheds a positive light on everything, and then is a great game on top of it. So it's pretty, pretty neat. Highly recommend people checking that out.
Yep, absolutely. Do it now. That one too. All these games we're gonna talk about, you have to buy immediately.
That's why we're here.
Test your humanity test. It's the monkey video. Buy Guacamelee. Buy Spelunky, and then smile. So we're here to help you. Last game I've been playing a shit ton of is Fallout New Vegas.
How much time in the past week or so?
At least 20 hours. I was gonna say at least, because I've streamed it multiple times. Yeah. And again, this is another one of those games where I loaded up some mods, just messing with that, and was gonna stream because I thought this is a game that you can stream and have some fun with. And I got right back into it, and one of the mods I got was the DMC's texture pack, which is a 10-gigabyte texture pack that makes the game look fucking amazing. Like, it's unreal. That combined with I have an effects pack. I can't tell you what that is off the top of my head. It really makes, you know, like, the lasers and the fire and all that kind of stuff look a lot better. A pack for making the faces not look so weird. And I mean the game looks great. Like, I couldn't believe it when I was playing it, and it has made it a lot easier to play through it. But it's so exciting. That is, I Skyrim, I like the combat in Skyrim. It's the combat itself technically is better, but man, what Skyrim lacks is the guns? Chopping of the body parts.
The dismemberment. I mean, do you? I don't know.
Oh, it's awesome. Why doesn't Skyrim have that?
I don't know. I have a corpse sitting at the entrance to Whiterun, like, on a torch that may, like, I'm pretty happy with some of the, at least I can make use of the dead bodies. But yeah, it would be nice to be able to dismember them, I guess.
Yeah. And
there's really no way out of that creepy statement.
Yeah, I was say.
But it's just because, like, I don't know, just the way it feels, like, when you're fighting one of those, and it's only bad guys I'm doing this to, so it's okay to dismember a bad guy, I guess is what we're trying to say, or a giant gecko. But man, oh, it hits so solidly. Oh, and that just smash. And I mean, because you can cut heads off in Skyrim, but they don't, it's always that slow motion, like, you know, this is me cutting a dude's head off. In this game, it just happens, and it happens quick.
Did Fallout 3 do that? Was that just like that Oblivion era engine?
Well, because it was actually, I think it's just with the Fallout engine because of the bats, because you could target because they actually limbs. Have actual limb damage, which is what they lack in the Elder Scrolls games. Because, you know, when you are playing Skyrim, even if you shoot someone in the head with an arrow, you're not getting, like, there's not a difference between head contact and body contact. Yeah. Now, there's mods that adjust that, but it's not the same thing as Fallout. Like Fallout, you shoot them in the head and you're getting critical hits or whatnot. But I'm running around with Veronica, who is a Brotherhood scribe, and she's got a power fist, and she just knocks fucking heads right off. Like, it is awesome. And I'm just, I'll give you a teaser of a Rotabulous Moments in Gaming that will be coming out next week. A lot of head punching in that one. I'm just going to say that. I won't tell you anymore. Just a shit ton of head punching. but I've been having a really good time with that, and I actually started a new character, but I've gone back to my old character because I picked up the DLC that I hadn't gotten yet. Actually, tonight I finally completed Old World Blues, and I'll be starting on Lonesome Road. later on in the week. So, yeah, I'm excited to got to get some closure with that game, but I think I've just opened something up as well. So,
I haven't really checked in on, you know, New Vegas kind of got a bad rep when it was launched, just how buggy it was. And I don't really know, like, where this game stands as far as, like, people that really enjoyed Fallout 3, like, where New Vegas fit. Because I honestly, and aside from you, I just kind of assume that everybody defaults to Fallout 3 and kind of ignored New Vegas. But that might have just been me.
I feel like there was a split. I feel like the people that really wanted a different Fallout game kind of, like, were okay with the bugs. They, like, you fought through it. You know, yeah, it was really buggy in the beginning. They got a lot of stuff fixed. There's still some bugs, but to me, there was just enough added to it in terms of, you know, gameplay, like with fighting and that kind of stuff. But also, like, what people forget about Fallout 3, people are very nostalgic about it, but you spent a shit ton of time underground in Fallout 3 in those subway tunnels, and that sucks. This game, yes, you're in buildings sometimes, but not to the extent you were in Fallout 3. Fallout 3, 50% of that game was going through subway tunnels, and that wasn't fun. And that was actually just, it obviously had a lot to do with the fact that, you know, the technology wasn't quite there yet, so they had to kind of, you know, find a way to... That. Yeah, but, I mean, people forget that. Like, so when we debate Fallout 3, yes, maybe Fallout 3's landscape, there was a little bit, I don't know, I wouldn't even say there was a little bit more to it. I think it was, comparing the two, like, it was relatively bland. It felt a little bit more dense with things.
You were constrained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was partial to just that DC setting, too, just the kind of backdrop a bit. Yeah. But.
Huh. And the DC setting was cool, but I mean, again, like, I think people forget that kind of stuff, but...
No, I mean, I'm surprised, like, I know your opinion, Ethan, but I'm kind of surprised. It sounds like, Jason, this is a clear-cut decision for you, too.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy New Vegas. I really didn't get into Fallout 1 or 2, like, back when they came out. I just, you know, that was, what, around the same time, like, Diablo and stuff came out. Mm-hmm. And so I really wasn't, you know, on board with those. I understood why people like them, but it just wasn't my type of game. So when sort of obviously the first person shooter, you know, Fallout 3 came out, I was like, let me try it. I played it on, I'm pretty sure, the Xbox 360. And I liked the DC setting. I liked the variety of stuff, but I did feel sort of constrained to the environment. Whereas I felt like Ethan said, you know, the variety and sort of the open worldness of New Vegas really sort of captured my attention more so than Fallout 3. Damn. So yeah, I prefer New Vegas quite a bit. And of course, you know, like the VAT system just makes it so much better to be able to, you know, target certain things or like shoot a guy in the shoulder so he'll like turn and stuff like that. You know, just to play with the physics a bit is a lot of fun, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds like I fucked up.
Well, but I think you're right. There's a 50-50 split. I really do feel like there's a lot of people that love Fallout 3, didn't really like New Vegas. There's still a lot of people like, oh, Fallout 2 was the best. It should have been exactly the same, but I, you know.
Do those people even talk to each other? Do the, like, 100% Fallout 3 guys versus the Fallout 2 guys, can they even be in the same room together?
Probably not. It's the same thing. There's issues with Fallout 3 and the New Vegas guys. Like, it's like, dude, it's, oh, God, okay.
They had to go somewhere with the series, and I thought they chose a very interesting, you know, setting, because it could have been really bland. It could have just been like the same like desert backdrop throughout the whole thing, but they did sort of selectively choose, you know, some major locations and then just sort of put a lot of variety in between, like, because you would think it's weird, like, oh, I've got to travel from point A to point B in the middle of the desert. You'd think that would be boring, but somehow they make it not boring.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So I you know, applaud them for that. And that's probably why I think it's more enjoyable, because the degree of difficulty of creating a game in the desert is pretty high, I think. Mm-hmm. And they pulled it off. So that's just where I stand on it.
Cool. Well, I know, Jason, you're kind of ramping back up into gaming now that technology is back on your side. So where are you headed? What have you been up to?
Well, I was a little bit worried during my downtime that I talked about Timber and Stone the last time we did a podcast together. And so I talked about sort of how the game was really buggy. The 1.3 version was really buggy, so I decided to skip it. And so I thought while I was gone that they were going to release something like 1.4. I thought that was going to come out while I was gone. Surprisingly enough, like 2 days ago it came out. So I'm actually right on the cusp of them updating the game, so I feel like I'm not playing as much catch-up as I thought I would. Oh. So since that is a really popular video series on my YouTube channel, I thought that I would just try to jump right back into it. I actually tried to record a video of 1.2.1 as like a, you know, send-off video, and my the software I use actually wasn't synced correctly. And so I'm glad I figured that out before I tried to export it. So I just was like, screw it, I'm jumping to 1.4. So actually before the podcast, I started playing it, and they've added a couple different things, including individual inventory for each of your settlers. So whenever they go to gather materials, they actually have sort of like a personal inventory. Mm-hmm. And then they've also added storage. So it's not any longer like a universal storage. So like, as soon as you collect something, it goes to the universal storage. You actually have to have your characters take that stuff back to a central location, or to like a tool chest, or a, you know, a place where you drop off like rocks and dirt, so, and stuff like that.
If like one of those characters like met an untimely fate, they would lose their stuff.
Exactly. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. To an extent. Yeah. That's how except for maybe like armor and stuff. But yeah, if they were like collecting wood or something and they didn't bring it back, then you just lose it. So it's a little bit more tedious in terms of somebody walking really far away, collecting as much stuff as they can, because they have like a certain number of things that they can collect, and then they have to walk back. And of course that stuff has mass, so it slows them down. And so it's cool from
the simulation side, though.
Yeah, like it adds this really interesting real world aspect to the game, but at the same time, you just can't really like crank out a lot of stuff really quick. And plus, the enemies are a little bit more difficult, so you're going to run into like wolves now. I actually fought like two wolves that took out one of my people and stuff like that. So they're just continuing to add the degree of difficulty. But at the same time, sort of giving you more variety of stuff to play with, which I enjoy. So I won't sort of harp on that too much longer. But I do have a couple videos coming out this week. So if you guys are curious, I'll be able to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And then right before I left, I tried, because everyone was like, oh, you got to get to level 7 or whatever on Borderlands 2, so I caught up to that, and then who knows where you guys are at this point. So
I think we've only played one session, and I think we're like the 9 and 10 range seems to be safe, but we also kind of found that it's not as big a deal as I thought for people just to jump in, and I think we're going to keep it kind of loose. So
yeah, so I played that on the PlayStation 3 and only played for about 4 hours at the most, and then of course it got... it was on sale during the Steam sale, so I, of course, picked it up because everybody else seemed to have it. And I usually don't do that. Like, usually if I have the one version, I don't sort of jump ship. So yeah. I did that for you guys. But, yeah, I just...
we don't say thanks. We just laugh.
Yeah, we just...
So, actually, when my internet was down, I tried to... I tried playing, like, an hour of that, and... I don't know, like, you can play without the internet, but I was just kind of like, what's the point? Because I bought it for the multiplayer aspect of it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I really haven't really jumped into too many things. I have a number of things that I bought during the Steam sale that I actually kind of bought just for myself, not actually to record any videos for. So we'll see what happens there. I did purchase Torchlight 2, but I've never played it. I actually picked it up, I think, because Aaron was playing it.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot like Diablo.
That's kind of what I thought. Well, I thought maybe I saw somebody streaming that at one point, and I was like, this looks... Might have been you, Justin.
Both Aaron and I have streamed it.
So I picked it up, and you know, I'll probably jump in with that a couple times. And then I bought the Worms Revolution, of course, based off of the stream that you guys did, weeks ago? So, like I said, it's just I'm kind of boring this week because I really haven't had a lot of time to sort of jump into the variety of stuff that I purchased. I also bought Fallout New Vegas for the PC, and I do want to jump back into that as well. Because there's, what, three different endings? So,
how about the time you're on...
I was looking at it today, there's like 7. Like, there's a shit ton. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. So maybe I should play that, and that's all we can talk about next time you're on.
Hey, well.
We could have a Fallout New Vegas.
I know you.
3-year anniversary, 2-year anniversary. Like, I mean, we could.
But sure, yeah, like I said, I'm just trying to get back into the swing of things, so I'm not too terribly excited on what I'm playing. But and I've been trying to like catch up on all my YouTube subscriptions as well. I haven't played really any Minecraft in a while, and that's probably a good thing. I kind of needed a vacation from that, but I'm ready to jump back into that pretty soon, I hope.
You're also still working on your PC build. How's that coming along?
Yeah, it's over.
What new part do you have this week?
I don't. I actually, we'll just say I got a speeding ticket in Texas.
Oh.
So that's not cheap.
Was that your celebration after you got out of Arkansas?
That was actually, yeah, it was like the last day we were there. And because we were traveling from Fort Worth to Dallas every day. And it's about a 40-minute drive. And what's really weird about Texas is that their speed limits go up and then down really quick, and they have a lot of signage. So
awesome. Thanks, Texas.
They got me on the last full day that we were there. So, $190 for a speeding ticket, which would basically be any other remaining component that I need.
I was going to try to tell you to buy a Vita with that money, but I won't.
You know,
I would much rather buy a Vita at this point.
Aubrey's gotten about 10 tickets here in Germany. 10 of those tickets, you know how much it equals to maybe 200 euro. Their tickets are like 20 euro, maybe.
Jeez.
They can't believe how much are tickets. I tell everybody here, like, do not speed in the States. Like, why? It's, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's, you know, it's a $190, $200 deal. They're like, what? What do you guys use that for? Your infrastructure is horrible right now.
And two of our tickets were for going too slow on the Autobahn.
Yeah. Well, that's scary.
I mean, I was definitely going faster than I probably should have, but we were actually running a little late because my wife realized that the things that started that day were earlier. So I did it for her.
Did you try to cry to get out of the ticket?
No, we did have our sort of stuff on, like our convention badges and stuff. So I thought maybe we would get away with that. I just told her, I was like, we're running late. I've learned to just not deal with it. Like, it's just, I've never been able to talk out of a ticket, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. We had the stuff on. I was dressed up for the convention, and it didn't matter, so. I don't know. She's always gotten out of tickets, but I was driving the whole trip, so I don't know. I'll just chalk it up to transportation fees, I guess.
Yep. Oh, man. The video games feel sorry for you.
But imagine the amount of things that I could buy with $190 on the Steam sale.
Yeah.
Like 2,000 games, probably.
But yes, my computer build is actually pretty much where it was last time around.
Well, hopefully that subsides and you can make some progress there.
Totally.
Or at least your video software cooperates so you can actually take care of what you're actually playing.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. That happens every now and then, but that's why. Because even though you make sure you test your microphone and stuff, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that over a period of time it's not going to get out of sync. So,
yeah,
whatever. Man, it happens.
Videos and video games, they don't mix all that well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what the hell have I been playing? God damn it. Aaron fucking streamed like 3 hours of Papers, Please.
Yeah.
And that was the other game I was pissed off at Steam for just throwing that out there, too, in the same week as everything else.
Well, that came out last week, too.
Yeah, it did. It was just that back half of the week was just like, here, have a bunch of awesome.
It's probably a good idea that my internet was down, because otherwise I wouldn't have no money at this point.
Papers, Please is, you know, it's the indie game where you check people's passports on the fake Eastern Bloc, and... I'd read about the premise. We talked to Josh Lee about it on one of our older podcasts, and so I thought I knew what to expect, and I was like, you know, I might play that eventually, but like, you know, that sounds really clever. They turn that in the game. That's fun. Then I watched Aaron play the game for a while, and just got super into it because when I can break down something into like a process that I can steadily improve upon. That taps into a part of my psyche that really it's borderline addictive when I start to enjoy a process like that. So this game just tapped into something in me where I could not put it down over the weekend. And beyond the just like me trying to just be the perfect the just the model borderline agent here, just and not screwing up any of my denials or acceptance of people across the border. The fact that they just throw in so many little random story elements when you know all these characters come up to you and just every day that you're there, something happens that stands out, and it's just it's so damn clever and so damn entertaining from the, just the little incidents that happen, like from you know from terrorist bombings to like this one guy that just shows up every other day with. He just doesn't have his shit together, and you just kind of all laugh it off. And he's like, "You're doing a great job." And then the fact that all of this relates back to you have to get all process all these people so you can make enough money to take care of your family, who is in some shitty apartment that you have to keep the heat on. And I don't know, you know, we were kind of goading Aaron to, like, let his mother-in-law die first, and I was telling him, like, the order of which people you should take care of, and just, I also know that I could never stream this game, because there's just the, you have to judge people so harshly and just make these calculated decisions that there's no way to play this game and not look like a total asshole, and man, I play this game by the book. Like, I'm not interested in your sob stories. Like, that dude is like, "Hey, my wife's coming behind me. Make sure, you know, you help her out." And it's like, she didn't have all her paperwork, man. I don't know what to fucking tell you. Oh.
Yeah.
I did not expect to get sucked into this game, and it's all I was thinking about all weekend. Like, it was... I don't know if you guys... I've related this to, like, anybody that's done coding or programming. Like, if I get into a block of like 6 to 8 hours where I'm just doing code, like I will dream about that shit. I will like wake up like solving problems, and I was waking up and like trying to making sure I had all my shit organized. Like it was like I was still processing all this paperwork, and I couldn't stop playing even when I wasn't playing the game. So I like it.
Yeah.
It will look like that. And I was watching that, and I was getting flashbacks to, like, I used to work for a company that dealt with a lot of, like, denying people of services. I mean, you'd sometimes have to say, "Look, you can't have this," and you would get the sob stories. And there was a few times, at one point, Aaron had to deny a woman, you know, getting into the country, or else she would have been shot. And I was just like, "Flashback, flashback, flashback." You feel so guilty because it affects you. Like, you can get in really big trouble. And I was like, "Oh, my God." So I had to kind of, like, not watch that, and that's one of the reasons that like I was really into it, and I was like I think that after a while, like when you process people and you have to disconnect yourself from them, it like, you know, for some people it's like, "Oh, this is clever, this is interesting," but for me I was just like, "Oh, I don't know." Like, so I almost picked it up until that point. I was like, "You know what, this maybe just send me back into a reality that I don't want to be back into." But talk about a fucking clever game. There is no game like that out there.
No.
Like, I guess you could call it, I mean, it's almost a puzzle game, but I couldn't think of how you would describe that. I mean, it's a sim, it's a puzzle game, but yeah, talking about a clever fucking game, and Josh Lee, that fucking hipster, was playing it before it was cool, you know?
Yeah, he was. I don't know.
I've never heard of it, so, I mean, I'm definitely curious to know how it plays out. It sounds quite fascinating and quite possibly,
dangerously addictive.
Yeah. It just seems kind of like, should I stream that, or should I just play it by myself and make all my own judgments?
Play it a little bit and see how, like, racist you're going
to
come across.
Exactly, yeah. Like, because I feel like I would have to speak in some sort of, like, foreign accent, like, "Do you have your papers?"
Yeah. I guess I expected it not to be as polished. Like, I think I thought it was almost like a Ludum Dare type of experiment where it was, like just one idea, but the rest of the game was kind of crap around it. But just, I mean, they wrote 20 endings for the game. Then there's all these little character interactions, like with your boss, with the security guards that, you know, it's like, if you detain more people, I get more money based on how many people detain people I process. I can give you a cut of that, man. Like, if you're just a bigger dick to these people, we can make some more money. And, you know, he's trying to get stuff on the side, just the little side stuff, beyond the fact that, like I said, I was just obsessed with, like, memorizing this this instruction manual, this, like, they've made up this whole fake region of the country, well, the whole fake region of the world with all these made-up countries with made-up towns in them, and I wanted to know their, you know, the symbols of their passports, which cities they check in from. It was just, man, I went to a dark place. It was, and I was, man, I was just cold and calculated behind that desk. It just, it didn't matter. It was scary.
I was going to say, I'm glad you don't work in a service where you have to, like, like, deny people or whatever, because I think, because, you know, I feel like, you know, someone who does do some, that the programming side of things and whatnot, like, you, there's right and there's wrong, yeah. And that gray area is the conflict. You're like, nope, it's not.
You don't have the paper, and you're going to die.
I'd love to help you. What, you're a child? You're being chased? Sorry, so, give me your fucking passport.
So what you're... What you're saying is you have to watch that monkey video after you play that game.
I mean, in my defense, like, I looked at it like, if I don't do my job right, my kid might not eat. That's like the... So there is... I'm not a total animal, but, like... But, yeah, I didn't listen to anybody's shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, and happier video games, I'm assuming... What else did I play? I played I ended up getting Dragon's Crown on the Vita, and which has been good. I just don't hook up my PS3 very often. It's always like, you know, I have that HDMI cable that I'll just swap between the 360 and the PS3, but the PS3 gets neglected. But Dragon's Crown is set up in such a way that it's easy to kind of play one mission and then put it down, so it actually lends itself well to a handheld experience. Game is gorgeous. It is, you know, it's got an adolescent art style, but Vanillaware, still beyond that, it's just amazing looking, great music, great atmosphere, and so it's a brawler basically with heavy, heavy RPG elements, and I'm playing as a dwarf and smashing everything to bits, and it has a heavy multiplayer element where you can play online with your friends, but it'll also throw in, like, it'll fill out the rest of your party with the three other computer controlled characters, so you get to see everybody, and things just get really chaotic when you're on the battlefield, and you know, it's kind of weird with Charlie Murder coming out this week too, just these beat 'em ups that are trying to be more. I think Dragon's Crown's probably going to end up being a lot more sophisticated in that, and like, in its gameplay than Charlie Murder, but it's still just kind of unfortunate that it's held back by some poor Japanese design choices.
Well, I type in Dragon's Crown in Google, and I look at Google image search, and I'm like, what?
It's off-putting. It is off-putting.
Yeah.
It's like one of those, like, the other reason, like, I don't want to play this game, like, on the TV in front of, it's
right,
like, game of shame element to it, and like, it doesn't cross any lines, but it just comes across as unnecessary.
It's a bit over the top,
and not even in like an attractive way. It's really weird. That's why, like, I'm really torn on it, because I know that Polygon's review came out and people were giving Polygon shit, which, whatever, like, review what you want, like, people, I'm sorry, everybody, not everybody has the same opinion. Because, you know, an aspect of that review was like, look, it's visually, if you're off put, you're off put.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can say about
it. It's not going to just suddenly make you comfortable.
It's not like it's going to, I mean, a brawler, like, you can make it as deep as you want, but that's not going to make up anything. I mean, because a brawler is not necessarily going to, like, completely change it, because it's a brawler. That's a simple kind of game, you know. You can enhance it as much as you want, but I mean, just looking at it, like, I thought all the art style was great, but there was also like a grotesque aspect to it, and I often wonder, like, if that one was designed, and I'm not one that's going to be like, oh, everything's got to be PC, you know, I'm not jumping into that too much. However, I wonder where the fuck these art designers were for, like, the last 2 years, because there's a debate going on right now, and that to me was, not that I'm saying they were being intentionally disrespectful, but I wonder how they felt that came across. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they were working with those dudes at Square Enix that are working on the boom physics of the HD remakes of the Final Fantasy games. Like, those guys were actually talking about, like, they had conversations around that. It's just like, there is a certain disconnect there that... I don't think this gets in the way, but like I said, it does kind of make you... Give it a second thought before you play it. But, you know, you block all that out, it's a great fucking game. The boss battles, as the action ramps up in this game, it's really fun to play. You the powers you get are really satisfying, and there's plenty of loot to be had. There's just reasons to repeat these quests a lot. It's just really fun to play. It can be, you know, it's got some grinding aspects to it from the RPG side, but if you like that stuff, it's fantastic. So it's a lot more fun to play, and much easier to recommend on that side. So if you do have a PS3 and Vita, it's fantastic.
How does it compare to Castle Crashers?
It's much deeper than Castle Crashers. Castle mm-hmm. Crashers is very, I would say, just much more easily accessible. Dragon's Crown is a little bit deeper, mm-hmm. and like there's definitely a lot of skill involved with some like some higher level combo play. Like I can see the difficulty ramping up pretty high with some of the enemies and that sort of thing. So it's okay. I have a feeling it's gonna get really difficult. But but like I said, when you get to like the enemy design of some of these bosses, and they're like, you know, screen filling bosses, it's pretty amazing looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I saw a lot of parallels with the two games, just because, you know, there's Brawler. I mean, obviously Castle Crashers is older, it's a smaller game, it has some RPG elements, but like the bosses and that kind of stuff. But I wondered in terms of people picking it up, you know, like you're gonna have to invest more than 20 hours in this game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's there's a lot to it. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Then I busted out a couple quick game curiouses. Again, I played Hammer Watch. I didn't really expect to pick that up at all. Like if you like Gauntlet, this is like the best Gauntlet game I've played in a long time, and I can't wait to play it co-op. It has local and online co-op. So so it actually looks like it should control almost like a twin stick shooter, but it uses the face buttons. I use the gamepad. Use the face buttons to shoot in 8 different directions, but I also found those 4 character classes. I played as a ranger. I mean, the paladin does not have a projectile. Like he has his magic ability is actually a dash where he'll just like blow through a stream of guys, and the enemies in this game are just so plentiful that I started to find like it's actually kind of helpful to do like a kiting technique to just get them all bunched up together and attack them in mass. And then, like the only thing you're picking up throughout the game are, there's some magic refills, some health refills, and then just money. And then randomly throughout the levels, there are, merchants that you buy upgrades from, like just skill upgrades, weapon upgrades, all that. So there's no leveling up. There's no experience points. And that took me a while to figure out, but, I like to see like, it's kind of, you can only go so fast when you're playing it solo. I'd like if the pace picks up when you're playing multiplayer, I think it'll really shine. But I was kind of monotonous after a while because, I mean it was 20 minutes. I'm guessing 20 minutes before I even got hit once. Like it was like I was just safely destroying all of these enemies. And you know when you're fighting bats, worms and beetles for 15 minutes straight, it's just like I need, give me something else. Like even like the bigger enemies it was started to throw at me towards the end weren't doing it for me. So it needs to ramp up, but has a lot of potential, and especially for an $8 game, it's got plenty going on. So
cool.
Then I played Beat Buddy, which I'm still not sure what I think about this game, but it's a rhythm based platforming game. Really nice 2D art style, kind of more vector graphics than like pixel art. But the thing that really set it apart at the beginning is like it does this whole intro with the voiceover, and I thought the dude was stuttering and had a speech impediment. But then you start listening to it, it's like no, he's like being remixed like a DJ. Like everything in this world is music based, and there are a ton of characters that like beatbox while they're talking to you, and it's charming as fuck. And the gameplay itself, you just kind of, it's more like puzzle platforming and navigating everything towards a beat. And that didn't really stand out all that much to me, but the personality and the game world itself, all the characters, it was really, really cool. And it hopefully can build after the half hour or so that I played, but so it had some potential there. But it was definitely different. It was fun. It kind of actually reminded me of some of the music stuff that Rayman has been trying to do lately, on a simpler lower budget level, but looks great. I think it'll appeal to a certain group of people.
Very, very certain group of people yeah. that we don't like. Yeah. We hate
people. No, like, when's the last game you played with beatboxing in it? Come on.
Yeah, I like beatboxing.
That's it pretty much for games. Kind of going into what we're working on. I'm still continuing my weekly Skyrim and Earthbound streams. Although I might take a break this week for Payday 2 for Earthbound. Might get pushed back a week. But in Skyrim, I am continuing my quest down the Dark Brotherhood line. I did a couple of those quests, and that storyline's getting interesting pretty quickly. Man, I killed a viciously killed a old woman running an orphanage, and right in front of a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I remember doing that.
But she was mean though.
Bitch. Yeah. I didn't do it in front of the kids, though. I'm a little bit nicer.
Oh, no, yeah. I just rounded the corner.
She deserved it.
She was, like, in the middle of yelling at them, and I rounded the corner and shot her in the face with an arrow. And they were yep. like, yay, she's dead!
Oh, they were okay with it, yeah.
But that's still been a lot of fun to stream. Lydia is still sticking with me, so...
Hey, that's the way to do it, man. You'd be good at that, Lydia.
That's love.
And then Earthbound's going well. Behind the scenes, I'm working on trying to, I think I said this last week, but bump up the quality of our podcast videos that actually go up on YouTube. So I'm doing some graphic work on top of what we're producing and doing some, I'm working on a couple video intros for the shows. So when those come out, I expect heavy critique and lots of pointing and laughing. So. Yeah. Those will come out soon. And then, like I said, I've got like probably four Game Curious videos just sitting in the queue. So as soon as I can actually write those reviews up, I'll put those up on the site. And then editorials-wise, things have kind of calmed down. We've just been in game-playing mode. I have a feeling like as the game releases ramp up, it gives us more topics to kind of talk about, and hopefully the editorials come back. But as soon as I get this video stuff knocked out, I'm going to try to take a fresh look at, like, our editorial content, because that's kind of what we came here to do, and getting that back out on a regular basis is important to us. Justin Gifford's kind of jumped in, and Ethan's been pretty consistent with his editorials, but a couple of, me included, we've kind of fallen off with with that content, so I want to figure out how to keep that going alongside of all of our video stuff and podcasts, so...
Yeah.
Ethan, you've been playing New Vegas. Is there anything else on the queue for you?
So now that the weather's actually gotten better, you know, preparation for Gamescom for next week. We're still trying to decide how we're going to cover that. It'll be very guerrilla. So I'll do my best as a one-man operating crew. I think I've got a friend that's going to go down with me, but I'm not 100% sure. Videos, those will be popping up a little bit more. I've kind of hit a bottleneck. I've got maybe 5 or 6 games that I want to write a Reflex review on, and today it just, everything in my brain just, you know, came to it's nothing was coming out, so I delayed my editorial for today till tomorrow. But I'm going to really focus on getting those Reflex reviews out, and kind of getting away from just looking at the games from like a mechanical and like a graphics perspective, and actually just talk about, like, you know, the kind of feelings that come out of them, because I found myself getting way too technical with some of those reviews, and frankly, I really like the way Rock Paper Shotgun does their what I think
flow and react, man.
Yeah, and I like that, because to me that's how I write normally, and it's really tough to get. If we're not going to do a rated review, which we don't do as often because we play so many games, I've kind of made my peace with that. I'm kind of like, you know, it's almost like, to play through a game at this point, if it's not really great, you're going to put it down. But I kind of like to deal with that beginning feeling, because that's what makes people buy games. And that's kind of where my focus is going to come with those. So I want to write about Shadowrun Returns. I want to write about Spelunky, Guacamelee, those kind of games. I also want to keep my editorials going. Last week's article was pretty... I wouldn't say negative, but it was... I've really been noticing, like, just a lot of aspects of the industry that... I'm maybe disappointed in. I'm going to try not to be an angry person in reference to it, but I really, as our hobby, which is a hobby, is beginning to mature, I just feel like people are kind of falling behind a little bit. I've noticed it that much more now. So my editorials have kind of had, there's a little bit of a sting to it, you know, because it is a little bit frustrating. You'd think you'd grow with this hobby, but people kind of aren't at this point. Well, so that I almost wrote a really mean article today, so I didn't. I avoided doing that, which I want to go back to the games because I think I was focusing on the industry and I wasn't playing games because I was so focused on like all these fuckers and all this stuff. And like, I've been playing a lot of games
fuckers,
now.
Fuckers, man. Fuckers.
I like this, you know, like I like the games and I don't care about anyone else. You know what I mean? Like that's what it should be about, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I want to get back to some of our more, you know, our the silly stuff we do too. Like the, I learned something today is that kind of feeling, but I will be really curious to see where your head's at after Gamescom, after like, kind of being in it for a while and seeing that side, because you'll have an interesting perspective on it.
It's either going to be really good or really bad, and I'm trying to go with an open mind to it. But I mean, conventions are tough because Gen Con was great and it was fun, but we were there for 2 days and we were there kind of covering it, but more having fun with it. I'm going and I'm going to try to talk to people, and I want to see how it is here in Europe because we know how conventions go in the States for the most part. I want to see if it's different here, and I want to see if, you know, people are actually learning to, like, enjoy games as opposed to make it their lifestyle, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, I feel like that's kind of my trouble with some people right now is I feel like people do miss out on all kinds of other stuff when they're so focused on gaming. When you're so focused on one thing, that's what makes you react to negative things. That's what makes you, you know, threaten to rape, you know, women that are talking about why games are bad for people. That's why you attack websites because they reviewed a game that you loved in a negative way, and people are getting too intense.
That you love, so, that you haven't played yet.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know. There's just, it's so silly. So hopefully the convention brings the best out of me, and I get back to like, oh yeah, the industry. Okay.
Hey, if it just gives you another indie developer to talk about flying sharks with. Yeah, I think it's a successful trip. So
I'd love that too. Yeah, and again, there's some more. I'm trying to line up some more interviews with some people.
Do you have like a little audio recorder? You might be able to, like,
yeah, I've got
do
a bunch
some on the spot type
lot more equipment than I did last time. You can expect from me. I'm going to try to update stuff on a regular basis. I know there may be some big announcements at Gamescom. I know that at least there's going to be an announcement about XCOM: Enemy Within. Which is either going to be an expansion or a DLC for XCOM Enemy Unknown. That's kind of a rumor going about, but I mean, they're supposed to make an announcement.
Was it Enemy Found? Enemy Understood?
Enemy Within.
Okay.
Yeah, Enemy, Unknown. Yeah, Enemy come to grips with, yeah. But hopefully some cool shit comes out of it. You know what would be my dream, though, is if they announce Fallout 4. They won't.
Yeah, they won't.
But that'd be great.
So yeah, well, you probably won't see Ethan on the podcast next week, unless we get really crazy. But we'll be looking forward to checking in with you in 2 weeks when you get back. So, Jason, anything you want to shout out as far as you kind of talked about what you're working on video wise and what's coming up, but what's going on with Evolution and Gaming? What's upcoming there?
Well, let's see. We just came out with Futurama, which is a game that was on the Xbox, of course, sort of talking about those games that sort of had a previous product, joined to it. I can't even think of what's coming up this Friday. Give me 1 second. But we do Crazy Taxi, which I tried to release on Friday, but that didn't go over very well. Hoops, that's right. Andy says Hoops. So the Nintendo,
oh, nice.
The Nintendo.
Wow.
A hoops game with the women in it from way back yonder.
That's not funny.
It is very funny, actually. So
I think Arch Rivals had women in it as well.
Yeah. So we've got that coming up on Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Plus, I believe Turok is next Tuesday. So
shit.
That'll be on Andy's channel.
Cool.
And some other stuff as well. So, we've just basically been sort of evolving that in terms of trying to give you guys a little bit of history of, you know, the games themselves.
I like
and
the
also
variety.
Some gameplay. We try to do theme weeks, and sometimes it doesn't work out, but for the most part, he does post videos on Tuesday, and I post videos on Friday. So
Dinosaur Week next week.
Yeah, because actually, if I'm not mistaken, my video next Friday, since his is Turok, mine will be the Jurassic Park game for the Genesis.
Oh, shit. There you go.
Yeah, yeah, so...
I think we'll make Ethan do, like, a commentary track on top of your commentary.
Hey, that works for us.
How redundant would that be?
Hey, this is Ethan Moses.
That secondary...
Let's Mystery Science Theater 3000, like, all of our previous videos. Let's stop all the podcasts, just redo everything, and talk about how big idiots we were.
And so that will get us up to a certain point, because we usually record, I think, 4 weeks at a time, so 8 videos total. But yeah, I don't know what we've got in store. As long as my Nintendo works out, we're going to try to probably get some more original Nintendo games in the mix. But yeah, who knows?
Cool. And then Andy's actually going to guest on our Thursday show, Top Video Game Podcast. Yeah. So we'll check in with him for the first time. That'll be fun. He did play Borderlands with us the other week, so you have heard him. And he's Mangler103 in the chat. So check out their... Like I said, they post Evolution Gaming twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, and we post it on our social channels as well. So, pretty cool retro podcast. All right, guys, game pitches. Looks a little calmer than last week without Josh Lee's scribbling. Let's see. I was actually trying to spin off of our first idea of like how do you make heists, how do you make bake heists for good? Chat mentioned, like, maybe you're actually stealing for orphans, but I thought we could start there as far as what would make you play Payday. How would you feel good about the end of Payday, Ethan?
Well, I'd either need to be stealing money from aliens or zombies or people that I know are shit.
Stealing from zombies? What would you steal from zombies? What do they have?
What do they have? Well, I mean, zombies have bank accounts. Like, if I knew the person I was stealing from, their bank account was, like, about to be closed. Like, the bank teller is like, well, they died, so well, I'll wait till tomorrow to do that. I would willingly steal from that bank account, you know? but yeah, zombies, maybe vampires. What if in the future vampires start opening, like, a shit ton of bank accounts and they've just got too much money in there? They're holding on to that stuff. They save because they don't need much. And so you break in, you steal vampires, or like the Loch Ness Monster. I would steal from the Loch Ness Monster a fucking second. Or Sasquatch.
Sasquatch?
Yeah. Sasquatch.
You know, he's got quite the savings account, I think.
He does. He's like, oh my god, someone's been in my bank account. It's
full of beef jerky.
Jason, what's your pitch here?
Well, I had to try to top the whole unicorn apocalypse from a couple weeks back. And I actually watched that back solely just for that whole... that did not go the way I thought it would. It actually was way better than I thought. So,
stickers.
Yeah, I actually told my wife about it, and she got very excited about it.
That was the exact target audience we're going for.
Yeah, she was a big fan of that. So I don't know. I was kind of thinking, you know, what hasn't been done, because you know you're getting a lot of these strange sort of concept games going on, but. And for some reason, the Magic School Bus came to mind, and there was a whole thing of that where they went inside someone's body. And so I was kind of thinking like some sort of art game or first-person shooter set inside the human body. It would be kind of crazy. I don't know if it's been done yet or not. But
actually, I would play an inner space game.
Dennis Quaid be part of it? Would Martin Short be part of it? Martin Short's not doing shit right now. Quaid, a little bit busy, but Martin Short could come in on that.
Yeah, he's doing pretty much nothing other than, How I Met Your Mother?
Oh, is he? So,
yeah, he was the boss for, Jason Segel's character at the law firm.
I think you could do an inside the body game.
As long as Dennis Quaid is going inside the body of Randy Quaid.
Whoa, dude. Dirt. Whoa. Out of context. That is awful. Somebody make a sound make a sound bite of Justin saying that. Dude, the way you said it, too, it was less about what you said, more about the tone. You demanded that Dennis Quaid went inside Randy Quaid's body.
Well, it was for a specific reason, because it actually, you go inside his body at that pivotal scene in Independence Day because you've got to get his adrenaline high enough for him to bring down the spaceship. This is what it all hinges on.
He just really lethargic, and he's like, I don't know if I can do it. And then you just erupt into there.
And then think about the ultimate sacrifice that Dennis Quaid is making in that regard. Because Randy Quaid, he's also dying in this.
Dennis Quaid sacrifices his life by going inside Randy Quaid. So Randy Quaid can sacrifice his life by going inside the alien spaceship.
Yeah.
Independence Day 2 is actually like a prequel. Or it was like, you know, happening. Like, maybe Independence Day 2 should be from Dennis Quaid's perspective as he's inside Randy Quaid's character, who during the game, I mean, or during the movie, Randy Quaid's character is like a drunk.
Heck,
everyone's
yeah.
like being real shitty to him. You know what I mean? That could be good. And you're dodging alcohol and whatever fumes come from a bug plane. And the visuals for that are just so silly. Like, that's just a silly. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because think about it. I mean, if you're inside someone's body and you're so, like, everything's, like, obviously to a much major scale, you have no idea what you're looking at, you know? Yeah. So think about that. I think it would be kind of... That's why I kind of, you know, pitched it as, like, an art game.
That could be, like, a cool series. Like, whatever you're doing in these people's bodies, like, then it zooms out after your successful mission because you've helped them accomplish... whatever, like, little set piece moment. One would be saving the world from aliens. The other,
Hopefully it's less, you know, violent than that surgeon generator or whatever.
Oh yeah, that would be
our simulator.
Yeah, I haven't played that yet. Yeah,
you cut people open, you go into it. But here's actually, let me take this to a next level. Okay, so what if the aliens were working with the Terminators from Skynet from the Terminator movies? They sent miniature Terminators back in time into Randy Quaid's body because they knew he's going to win to prevent him from doing it. And as Dennis Quaid and a team of professionals, you go inside Randy Quaid's body to prevent the Terminators that came from the future from preventing the apocalypse that's about to happen. Checkmate.
Check, please.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if I want this to happen now.
I don't know if it'd be very artsy.
How was Randy Quaid related to John Connor?
He was a drunk uncle.
Okay.
His drunk uncle.
Yeah. Well, this is the prequel then, because originally Randy Quaid...
When you time travel, it's tough to tell if it's a prequel or a sequel or an actual... Like, what is... Okay, so what is a movie... What do you call it when, like, it's not... before or after, it's during it from a different perspective. Like, what do you call that movie?
An interquel.
Interquel?
I'm just making words up.
I like it. We can go with it.
I think somebody's used that before.
There is actually a term for that, but I can't... An alternate timeline, I think.
Which reminds me, I kind of want them to all of a sudden make another Assassin's Creed 2 game. Like, right in the middle of all this, like, announce another Ezio game. That would be an interquel.
Could he be inside of... Is he going to be inside of his body? Assassinating Terminators?
Isn't that the plot?
who are you? I'm a 15th century Italian person, and you must be... Are you Dennis Quaid? I'm such a huge fan. I don't know how I know your movies. I just do.
Will Smith punches him in the face.
To pull it back in...
Randy's body!
To pull it back on topic, though, I mean, imagine, so, like, you have to go in, like, okay, you have to go, like, fight, I don't know, the common cold or whatever. So they send you into somebody's body, but they don't tell you what anything looks like. So here you are with, like, you know, a mini machine gun shooting, you know, I don't know, someone's white blood cell count to bits. They have no idea, you know. You're like, oh, that looks like a cold there. And then it's like, oh, then the person dies, and then you lose the game. Because you just don't know anything. It's just like, it just sends you in there, and it gives you a random mission, and then you just have to figure it out.
And your name was Ebola Virus.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
That could be a cool roguelike game. Like,
well, it would be educational, too, because you would learn what stuff looks like.
It's like a Dr. House roguelike.
Yeah.
Oh, just kind of random. But you're inside the body.
Yes.
Of Randy Quaid.
Dr. House go inside the body.
Of Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
I'm pretty sure he's not doing anything right now. You could probably get the rights to whatever you wanted for
I can
Randy
imagine
Quaid.
That episode of House where Randy Quaid shows up and then House's only solution is to shrink, call Dennis Quaid, and get inside Randy immediately. We need to get inside this man immediately. Okay, well, let me get you a scalpel. You don't understand what I'm saying. We need to
this is the only way I can get diagnosis.
You have to go through his urethra.
Untense his butthole and let's get in there now. We don't have the time to talk about this.
I want to give a shout out to Happy Happy Matt because I think he's pitched something that you might be able to run with Ethan. A cooking show sim game. You've gotten into the kitchen lately.
Oh shit.
What make your game where you make the ultimate grilled cheese.
Well, there's a game. I actually did a Cheap and Dirty Gamer about a game where you ran a taco stand.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a puzzle-type game, but there was timing involved, and so it was almost like Diner Dash combined with like those Wario games.
Not the Warriors.
The Warriors, the movie.
Those territorial taco stands.
Warriors, the Furies are coming for you. Was it the apocalypse in that movie? I don't remember. What the fuck was that movie even about?
Gang wars, man.
AIDS.
I thought there was something to it. Man, how would you do that? What kind of pressure could you introduce to someone making a grilled cheese? Because a grilled cheese is probably the least
pressure situation. What situation is grilled cheese? Does the world hinge on grilled cheese?
When Gordon Ramsay's involved in it. I'm assuming
Randy Quaid's character from Independence Day ate a lot of grilled cheese.
Maybe
that's how you deliver Dennis Quaid into him.
We found another prequel.
He's going to know. If you give him an injection, he's going to know. Give him this grilled cheese sandwich. Dennis Quaid,
that's how he gets it.
Between the loaves. He'll eat it.
The ultimate grilled cheese is the delivery system for...
This is just a canon that just revolves around getting one brother or cousin or however they're related inside another. That's all.
Gosh, we're lucky we only know about two of the Quaids, or this would go on all night.
How many Quaids are there? Are they like the Baldwins?
I think there's got to be four, right?
Is there like a Lance Quaid? It's just like, I want to be inside Randy.
Lance sounds annoying.
Oh, okay. He is.
Oh, shit. I'm glad we didn't go down the path of the Baldwins. That's for another show. Quaids versus Baldwins.
Oh, that's another game. You didn't even... That's awesome. I would love that game.
How many Quaids does it take to bring down all the Baldwins?
Well, how many Baldwins are there? There's Alec, Steven...
20?
John? Big Frank?
Tony?
Dr. Richard?
Alicia?
Shaniqua.
Mm-hmm. Shaniqua Malcolm?
The one that's just the symbol?
Yeah. Surgery.
Gary Busey Baldwin.
Gary Busey Baldwin.
Oh, man, this is... All right, I'm jotting down. We are going to, on a future show, revisit the Baldwins and Gary Busey. But we'll leave you on that note. So, guys, it's been fun. Chat, thanks for hanging out. If you're listening to this afterwards, give us a review on iTunes. Help support the show. And Night Force Action Report will be back next week. We'll see you then.
Oh, that got me in the chuckle muscle. Oh.